What a great, great day. And what wonderful worship, man. Tell the person next to you, you sing good. Go ahead and tell them, you sing good. Yeah. Well, my name is Jeff Walling, and I'm thrilled to be here to continue this series, Until Then. But before I do so, I want to do two things. One, I want to welcome all of our guests, first-timers. We're so glad you're here. And if you didn't see the wonderful little SK Fest, Shepherd Kids Fest that's going on outside, you want to take a good look at the future. After services are over, just wander out there and watch the kids with the bubbles and watch the kids having fun. But know that all those kids, while you're in here, are in their own special places learning about Jesus, because Shepherd is committed not just to us, but to raising up the next generation so that LA can hear about Christ. Amen. And speaking about LA, this Tuesday evening right here at Shepherd, we're hosting something that's open to the whole LA community. It's a moderated discussion. Our own Pastor Dudley moderates with Dennis Prager and Alan Jackson. They call it Ask a Jew, Ask a Christian. With everything happening in the Middle East, what a wonderful time to have two experts be able to talk from two different perspectives, from a Christian perspective and a Jewish perspective. Not that they'll disagree on everything, but it will be a lively discussion. Now, it is a ticketed event, so please take time if you're interested to go to kkla.com and get a ticket for this Tuesday night. Bring a friend. I know it will be an invigorating and probably a very enlightening discussion. And while I'm doing the invite promotion, let me invite you to something at Pepperdine. Every year in April, we host a program called the Harbor Bible Lectures. And we invite hundreds of speakers from all across the country. Pastor Dudley has been there and spoke at the Harbor Lectures. It's just a time to come and spend the day learning about Jesus. And it's actually 4 days in a row. In fact, I know you live close enough, many of you, just to drive over. But we open up our dorms and you can get a ocean view dorm room for you and your spouse. Quite frankly, it's a gorgeous view. Room and board for 4 days total is about $390. Now, you can't get a Motel 6 in Malibu for $390. So let me give you that invocation. As I always say, some of the guys are saying, that's the anniversary trip I can afford right there. Baby, I'm taking you to Malibu. So come and join in. All right, open your Bibles up to 1 John. This series called Until Then, Pastor Dudley has asked us to look at things that we need to be doing until Jesus comes. I don't know about you, but there are certain times when all of a sudden you get serious about, oh, we need to make that happen. Today, my wife's twin brother and his wife are going to come and spend the afternoon and have dinner with my wife and I. They live out in the high desert. And so when I got up to come to Shepherd this morning at a little before 7 o'clock, Catherine was up too. And I said, baby, you sleep in. It's Sunday. What are you doing? Because she came to church with me here last night. Oh, I got to get things ready. I got to get things ready. And all of a sudden, she's downstairs cleaning it up. And I was kind of like, well, am I chopped liver? You don't do this every day for me, you know, but your brother shows up and now all of a sudden, but can we say we all do this? You know what it's like when you have, oh no, they're coming over. Then you got to get the Doritos out of the couch. I mean, you got to kind of clean things up. Well, when we think about the coming of Jesus, it shouldn't rattle us with fear. Some people have said, man, this series, you know, oh, it really kind of scares me. You know, oh my goodness, Jesus is coming. Let me make clear, Jesus is coming is good news. Amen. He loves you more than anybody. He died for you, and he's coming to take us home to be with him forever. Praise God that Jesus is coming. But it is a little bit like the coming of the relatives. You think, okay, I do want to be ready when my Lord comes. And what I talk about today, I got triggered on an idea when I saw that, you know, kind of burning bottom world logo. I thought about a movie that I saw, and I wished I could remember it's the name of it, but I couldn't. But it's a movie about a fireman, really a bunch of firemen. But in one scene, this fireman goes into a burning house, And he's going through, and they do it so well. There's smoke and flames, and you feel like the fireman. You can't see, and a board falls right next to him. And it's not a movie you enjoy. It's a movie you endure, because you're in there like, oh, my goodness, oh, you feel like you're right there with him. And I thought about that scene when I read the passage we're about to read together, because, brothers and sisters, am I the only one? At times, being a Christian in the world today feels like there's a lot of smoke and confusion all around us. Can I get a oh yeah from some of you? In fact, take out your outlines in your handout there. Write this down so you can think this through later. Following Christ in today's world can feel confusing and frustrating and leaves many people very anxious. It does seem like the smoke of moral questions, of things I thought were settled a long time ago, are like, no, this is really okay, or that's not okay. Or, I mean, I thought I knew what kind of language would never be heard in a professional setting. But I don't know about you, but I'm sitting in meetings where people are dropping words that would make my mom wash their mouth out with soap, if you know what I'm saying. And I thought, well, how did we get to the place where all of a sudden we can talk like that? How do we get to the place where people can... Kids were over, grandkids, and I made the mistake of handing one of them the TV controller. And boom, in three clicks, all of a sudden, there was stuff on my screen, like, no! And I'm running over there, grabbing. Some guy was, I forget what it was, but it was just bloody and awful. And they said, no, we're not going to watch that. And they said, why? I said, because that's not anything you should be seeing. And the little girl said, well, then why do they put it on TV? Good question. And that happens because, well, it didn't used to. Any of you remember I Love Lucy, right? As bad as Ricky was, she never cussed at him, ever. At least not on screen, right? I mean, there was such care given because, well, if it's on TV, it can't be that bad. But even as Dudley's talked about, man, our world has progressed to the point where you never know where you're going to see or hear something that would cause you to put your hand over a little kid's ears or maybe even put your hand over your own eyes. And the voices, the anger, taking moral questions and making them political footballs, the verbiage and the... I'm sorry, just hatred at times. And I'm not talking about a specific person. I'm saying it's just out there on the radio, on the TV, on the blog posts and YouTube and Facebook. It's like the loudest, crudest, meanest post gets repeated more than any other. So what are we to do? Well, John says, well, the first thing you do is you stop being shocked by this, which I think is pretty good advice. Listen to him. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. John says, you belong to God, my dear children. I love that line. Tell a person next to you, you belong to God. Go ahead, just tell them that. You belong to God. You have already won a victory over these people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who is in the world. Man, Jesus within us, do not be afraid no matter what you see, because he that is within us is more powerful than any that is within the world, because his name is Jesus, Lord of lords, King of kings, all power given to him. So we go, okay, good. Then John says this, they are from the world and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world and the world listens to them. Do you hear what John's saying? Don't expect the world to immediately go, oh yeah, when you start talking about your Christian morals, when you start talking about what you believe God calls to be right and wrong, because the world goes, no, that sounds like hate speech. Are you kidding me? Who believes that anymore? He says, the world listens to them. And when the world listens, it means also children listen. I read a stat the other day that kids between ages 8 and 12, average time on a phone, a screen of some kind, 6 hours a day. 6 hours a day. Teens, it's 9 hours a day. And so much of what is coming at them is the fire and the smoke and the you don't have to do that and you don't have to believe that. And you, oh, I heard one the other day, this whole thing on you be you. Just you be you. I mean, it sounds cool, right? Yeah, sure, just you be you, be you. Okay, do you realize that if everybody around you went with just you be you, do what you feel. If you want to see that in practice, find a two-year-old. Because two-year-olds, they just be them, right? I want that. That's mine. Shut up. Get out of my way. No, no, no. Can you tell? I babysat grandchildren recently. All right. And I love them, and I don't expect any difference. But when you be you becomes the word of the day, here's what Paul says. Paul says, be careful. Do not, this is Romans chapter 12, do not, everybody say do not, conform to the pattern of the world. There is a pattern, a pressure, hey, come on, really, you be us. Agree with us. Join in whatever we say. Let me give you a visual. Anybody know what this is? Play-Doh, yeah. How many here have ever played with Play-Doh? Yeah, you know why we love Play-Doh? We love Play-Doh because we can make it do anything we want to. I love this picture of these kids. This is homemade Play-Doh. I didn't even know you could do that. Homemade Play-Doh. But how wonderful, you can make it in anything you want. Well, now being a grandfather, I had to start kind of learning some Play-Doh skills. Did you know that there's a way that you can take kind of the Play-Doh and twist it and make a rose? Impressive, huh? There's even a YouTube where you can make a whole bouquet out of Play-Doh. You're saying, wow, really? Yeah. But let me warn you about this. You can make the coolest, neatest, most beautiful rose. I mean, so perfect. And give it to a little child who will say, wow. And their brother will go, yeah, what about that? Because Play-Doh's joy is that it looks just like the last guy or gal who handled it. Whoever squeezed it last, that's what it is. Play-Doh is completely moldable. That's the word Paul used. The word for moldable. Do not be conformed, pressured, pushed, squeezed, manhandled into going along what everybody else is doing. Do not be, he says, conformed, because if this is you, then you're just the last book you read or radio program you heard or movie you saw, and you find yourself really not being anything. In fact, you'll just squeeze into whatever shape the person who's talking to you thinks you ought to be in. And it's a miserable way to live because you're constantly running around like a middle schooler with a little slip that says, do you like me? Check yes or no. So I have to laugh and agree and go along. And Paul says, this is not a Jesus follower. He goes on to say, you need to be transformed. You need to be changed. Well, here's how John puts it, because I think he gives us a little bit of help. In his first letter, John simplifies the Christian's number one job with two words, imitate Jesus. Can you say it with me? Imitate Jesus. Go back with me to a minute to the fireman in the house in the movie, looking for the three kids in this burning house, right? And as he's in this house and the fire and the smoke, you know, we get down to this one place where there's a door and he thinks he hears children crying on the other side. So he kicks this door in. And in the corner of this room, smoke is already billowing in. A little bit of the curtains are on fire. Here's three kids, right? Oh, no, get the kids, get the kids. So he goes over to the kids, and he grabs one, and he gets one under this arm, and he grabs the other and gets him under this arm. And there's a little boy standing here, and you're thinking, oh, no. Is he going to put him on his back? What is he going to do? And the fireman leans down, and he says, son, listen to me. Walk exactly where I walk. Don't look around, don't look left, don't look right. Watch my feet, and we'll get you out of here. And this little boy, scared, nods, and the fireman turns carrying these two other kids, and this little boy, just as every single place the fireman places his step, he's careful, and he gets them outside. And of course, the crowd goes crazy, and mom and dad are screaming because they've been held out there because they were away when the fire started. And there's this moment where the little boy and his brother and sister run to mom and dad, but then the boy turns around, and he goes right back to the fireman. And he hugs the fireman's neck, and the fireman's just taken his mask off. And the fireman says, you did good.
And the little boy looks at him and says, I never took my eyes off your feet. I watched just where you stepped. And the fireman squeezes him, and I think that's a picture John would approve of. Our role is to be imitators of Jesus. Watch where he walks. Not the world, not the smoke, not the fire. Watch Jesus. Not the Instagram, not the TikTok. Everybody say it with me. Watch Jesus. Listen to John's words. He says, we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, oh, I know him. Now, let me just warn you. John's going to get a little crusty here because he's really frustrated with people who go around and saying, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm a believer. Listen to John. Whoever says, oh, I know him, but doesn't do what he, that is Jesus, commands. And then he says something my mom wouldn't let me say. He's a liar. My mom said, we don't call each other liars. I would do that to my sister. She's a liar. No, you don't say that. What can I say? Storyteller. Okay. All right. Storyteller. I remember in school when this professional storyteller came to do stories and I went, he's a professional liar. Why is he here? He's a liar, he says. And the truth is not in that person, but anyone who obeys his word, that is Jesus' word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know we are in him. What? How do we know we are in him? Whoever, read it with me, it's on the screen. Whoever claims to live in him must. Yeah, long before the braces were out there, he's saying, what would Jesus do? He's asking the question. Will you imitate Jesus? In fact, in 3 John 1:11, he says, dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Anyone who does what's good is from God. Now, careful, because I grew up hearing passages like this in church, and this is what I thought. Okay, I'm gonna imitate good things I see. Even Paul says, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ, or follow me as I follow Christ. In fact, the word that Paul uses is the word, the Greek word, mimetes, and mimetes is where we get the word mimic, right? To mimic somebody, to say what they say, you know, or act like they act. Well, I'm afraid I grew up thinking that the people around me, the Christians at the church, were the ones I was supposed to look at and just act like them. Which can be good, except in human nature, you know what we start doing? Oh, well, I'm better than him. I'm better than her. Goodness, I saw him walking in the car out there, and he pulled out a cigarette and started smoking. My goodness, what kind of Christian is that? Well, I've heard the way his kids talk, the language they use. And we start comparing ourselves, instead of with Jesus, with one another, because it's a whole lot more fun for me to compare myself to you than to compare myself to Jesus. When I compare myself to you, we're like the kids out on the playground, right? I'm taller than you. No, you're not. Okay, stand back to, remember this? Stand back to back. Okay. And man, if I feel that I'm taller, I'm taller than you. But if you zoom back, these are two second graders, and up walks a ninth grader who goes, what are you punks doing, right? You want to stand next to somebody? Here, back up to me. John says, okay, you want to compare? How are you doing? Stand back to back with Jesus. Man, if that doesn't humble you, nothing will. Amen? How close to the nature of Jesus are you and I? And John says, this is the goal for your rest of your life. Stop doing this routine and just decide you're going to fix your eyes on Jesus and imitate him. Now, the word imitate in English, or imitation, is not a very positive word. In fact, often in scripture, they translate it follow. I think because when I say, oh, that's an imitation, do you immediately go, oh, cool, right? You know, is that a Rolex? Well, it's an imitation. That doesn't impress you, does it? And if you've ever had imitation milk, Some of you have it at your homes. I know you do. Milk that a cow would not recognize. My wife got a thing of oat milk. Did you know they make milk out of oats now? I don't know how they, you know, milk them, but they somehow make milk out of oats. And now I'm going to get 15 emails. That's healthy, Pastor. Okay, all right. But it tastes rotten. I'm sorry. It just, maybe we're buying the cheap stuff. I remember when I went to my wife's, oh my goodness, we were engaged. I went to her father's home for the first time, and he served powdered milk. Any of my old homies know what I'm talking about? Powdered milk, right? And her dad would put it in a milk carton so you didn't know. And I tasted it and went, oh, what? And my wife, and I demonstrated my love to her. I drank all of that awful stuff. And in the car, I said, baby, can we bring milk the next time we come over here? Because when you get imitation cheese, don't get me started. When you get a bad imitation, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Can I get an oh yeah? All right, warning, Christians. There are a lot of Christians out there that are doing really bad imitations of Jesus. So much so that people say, oh, I don't even like Christians. Mark down number 3. There are some approaches to imitation that I think produce more authentic copies than others. Because a bad imitation of Jesus, well here, once again, John, this time in chapter 2 of 1 John. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister, well, they're still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. There's nothing in them to make them stumble. But now listen to this. But anyone, everybody say anyone. Say that takes in me. Come on, say that takes in me. I don't mean point up. You people say, that takes in you, Pastor. No, 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 no. Everybody say, that includes me. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness, like that fireman, smoke and haze, walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. John warns that if you get on the imitation train, but you don't truly imitate Jesus in your life, you're even blinder than you were before. Because you're producing a bad copy of Jesus and you're blind to it. You say, Pastor, I don't understand exactly what you're talking about. What do you mean a bad copy? I'm gonna give you quickly 3 ways. It's over on the back of your outline. 3 ways of imitating Jesus, and 2 of them produce bad copies. So let's see if we can give this a shot. First, by impersonating Jesus. There's a difference between imitating and impersonating. For us, we're gonna use this language. Impersonators are those people, you ever seen lookalikes? You know what I'm talking about? Those people who impersonate, who know how to move and act like someone. For instance, many of you don't know that my family's a close friends of President George Bush. Here's a picture just to prove that. And you're looking, thinking, I don't know. He looks kind of like, okay, he was at a conference where I was speaking, this impersonator. And you know how you can tell he's an impersonator? Just hang around him a while. Here, see what he did? Yeah. I didn't even know he did that till after we took the picture. George Bush put, no, that wasn't George. That was Carl, a guy who just impersonates him. Because Carl doesn't have to become the president. He just has to look like the president and sound like the president. Now watch, 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 watch. Jeff Walling doesn't have to become Jesus. He just needs to look like him. He just needs to sound like him. He just needs to act like him when people are watching, when the show is on. You know, it's one of the dangers of church, because this is the show. And when we all come here, we do our best Jesus impersonation. Oh, after you. No, go ahead. No, that's fine. Hi, good morning.
And how do we treat our children?
Here, sweet little baby. Come on, sweet little baby, this way.
Now, I have to giggle about it because if I don't, I start crying because I realize people see it and they smell it. It's it's like the Santa I saw. Oh, this is several years ago. I saw Santa in a mall doing his thing, and he was good. I mean, just perfect Santa. Honest to goodness, real beard, little glasses, the whole thing. Suit was great. But this kid, he's done about 15 as I'm standing there with a friend of mine's kid. And a little boy jumps up on his lap and he looks straight up at Santa. Now, when he's looking straight up at Santa, I'm not sure why he did this. I think he saw something in Santa's nose because he took his finger and went, pow, right up Santa's nose. I mean, he just shoved it up there. And the poor Santa went, whoa, whoa, whoa. And what came out of his mouth was not ho, ho, ho. He said holy something else. And all the parents went, you know. And kids went, oh, Santa talks like that too, Daddy. I mean, just. If you try to just be a Jesus impersonator, I'll tell you, you'll trip up and you'll fall flat. As soon as somebody pushes you, as soon as somebody hurts you. And now let me give you some hard language from Paul to Timothy about it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, you know, people, and he starts describing people in the last times. They'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. Pastor Dudley taught on this passage a couple of weeks ago, but I want you to notice this line. Having a form, everybody say a form, of godliness, but denying its power, basically impersonating Jesus. Oh, I know how to sing the songs. I know how to bow my head. But the power isn't there because nothing is different inside. It's just a show. Now, brothers and sisters, please don't think anybody believes the show. There was a survey done in 2022 about, and I forget the name of it, it was Jesus People or something like that. But the survey asked folks, give us 5 words to describe Christians. Now they got all this data back from thousands of people. If you read the data of what Christians say about Christians, the 5 words were things like friendly, loving, warm, welcoming. But if you read the data from what non-Christians, non-religious people say, do you know what the number one word was? Hypocrites. That broke my heart. And before I start pointing and blaming, I better start here, because if they see you, pastor, if they see you, Shepherd Church member, if they see us walk into a restaurant after we've been here and said, yes, we want to be like Jesus and love people, and chew a waiter or waitress out because they got something wrong, or be angry with somebody in a parking lot who bumped my car with their little basket, their, you know, Walmart push cart. If they see us giving it to our spouse and just shut up, we're not going to talk about that, or treating our kids like cattle, is it any wonder when somebody says, hey, would you like to come to church? Oh, no. My neighbor's a Christian. I've seen it. I've seen behind the curtain. And I want to weep about that, because that's not imitating Christ. That's just impersonating Jesus. So, impersonation's not a way to go. How about improvisation? Now you say, okay, I don't know, what's the word improvisation mean? Do you have any drama people here? Folks who did drama in high school? Or any musicians? The word to improvise means basically to go off script, to make it up on your own. A musician who just ignores the music and just starts improvising. Good ones, that's awesome. But normal of us that try to improvise? I was the improviser in my high school. That's because I would not take the time to learn my lines.
But I knew the story. I knew how it generally went, you know. So I just get on stage and just kind of go with it. I'd go off script. I'd improvise, which basically meant I just kind of say things that I thought were cool and that I thought fit. And the poor person that I was supposed to be responding to me was like, that's not the line, you know. That's not what you're supposed to say. The reason that doesn't work for Christians, well, the best way to illustrate it is, anybody know the name Robin Williams? Do you remember? Remember that guy? Amazing. The guy could improvise, go off script like nobody's business. In the movie Aladdin, many of the funny scenes would not have been near as funny had it not been that when they recorded it, Williams would go off script. He'd just throw in things and kind of make stuff up. Now, that works in an animated feature because here's how it went. Robin Williams improvised something really cool. The writer said, okay, we're going to add that to the script. And the animators drew it as he said it. It doesn't work like that with Jesus. Jesus' script is done. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. But most of us don't improvise lines like that. Most of us, when we improvise, why were you yelling at him? Because he was not listening. I was trying to tell him about church. I think you went off script there just a tad, maybe. Why were you mocking that person? You were just making fun of them. The kids were watching you. Yeah, I know, but they're so stupid. I actually watched a believer do all kinds of little jokey mockings about different kinds of religious groups. And this little circle of people were laughing as he talked about, oh, them and them and them. And I just thought, dear God, please, please help me to know what to say. Because when we go off script while we are improvising in Jesus' script, we've done a really bad thing. Now, there's a way they handle that in the theater. In the theater, when you have your rehearsals and you don't know the line to say, don't improvise. Here's what you do. They taught me, Jeff, stop it. You don't know the line. Yeah, but what I'm saying is good. We need the line. So just say line. I said, what do you mean? Just say line. Because Sue over there in the corner has the actual script. And when you say line, she'll tell you what you're supposed to say. Well, I tried it, but it's embarrassing, you know? So, Celia, line, and then she would tell me, and then I'd repeat it. Well, let me tell you what, Christian, that's the only thing you need to do next time you're motivated to improvise. Next time you're angry, next time you're ready to go off script, next time just stop and through the Holy Spirit say, Jesus, line. Because you know what Jesus is probably going to say? For me, 9 times out of 10, Jesus says, say nothing. Don't move your mouth. Or just say, oh, I'm so sorry. It's my fault. Are you sure that's it? I got it. I'm so sorry, babe. It's my fault. You see, you never make up those lines. Those are the ones that Jesus has to give you. Because it's Jesus who lived a life so counter to culture that making fun of someone else would never occur to Jesus. That taking advantage of somebody because you're an authority would never occur to him. When they nailed him on the cross, here's the line from the script. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We need to memorize that one. Next time somebody gives you a piece of their mind, right? Yeah, I've told you, my grandma said, don't be doing that. You don't have enough pieces to go around, all right? But next time somebody gives you a piece of their mind and you want to come back at them. Line. And the line is a silent prayer. Father, please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They didn't mean to do that. And now let me forgive them. Boy, it's Just so simple when I say it, isn't it? It's like cheesecake. And then you look at the person next to you and go, oh man, this is gonna be tough. This is gonna be tough. Because you know that we all love this way of just going with what we feel. And oh man, Paul says, let me tell you what happens when you do that. Paul says, excuse me, in Philippians 3, 18 and 19, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. And their God, I love this line, their God is their stomach. They have the gut God. Man, you got to go with your gut feeling, you know? Let me give you an example. A believer who knows what the scripture says, but wants to do something different. Well, I just know Jesus would want me to be happy. Is that brilliant? Is that good? Jesus would want me to be happy. I had a married man look me in the eye and say that. You've got 4 kids. Been married for 18 years. You have a beautiful wife. Sweet, intelligent. I know her. Ah, but Jeff, I'm just not happy. And don't you think Jesus would want me to be happy? That's an improv line, because you can't find that in here. You're not going to find, if it makes you happy, do it. Right? If it feels good, do it. That is not a way towards a healthy society. Can I get a, oh yeah? So that you be you stuff, kind of park that, all right? And how about this? Do unto others as you would have them. See, that's one of Jesus' lines. Or how about this one? Well, I just think Jesus would want me to be true to myself. Really? Yeah. So that's why you said that, because you just had to be true to yourself. Well, yeah. What would you want me to do? Just not say what I think? There's an idea. Not let everything that goes through my head when I'm angry come out my mouth. Why, that sounds like Jesus. How about the Bible? How about, don't be quick to anger. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. All right, I think I've drilled this point home. That improvising is not going to get us where we need to be, because we don't improvise. Bless those who cuss you out. John puts it this way in chapter 2, verse 15. Don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. I was so struck by how many times he uses love over and over again, and then it hit me. This is the answer. Do you know what will transform us? Do you know what will take us from Plato to ceramic? You know they come from the same thing. In that clay, moldable clay, made this little dish. I got this thing in the Holy Land, and I really love it and treasure it. In fact, I had to promise my wife I'd be very careful to get it here. This used to be moldable clay. But then you know what they did to it? We got any potters in the house? What do? They fire it. Folks, we have to be exposed to the fiery power of God's Holy Spirit to change our heart, because it's not the outside, it's the inside he wants after. Can I get a oh yeah? Because this won't do this. No matter who picks this up, it's always the same shape. And whoever picks this up leaves their mark on it. So transformation of the heart works like this. Jesus, I'm the little boy with the fireman. Jesus, I want to follow you, but I don't want to just do motions. So I want to make you the Lord of my heart. I want to follow and have your heart, Jesus. David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God. Paul wrote, set your heart on things above. The Hebrew writer said, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Here's your homework from this lesson. If you'd like to be, quote, transformed, as Paul said, don't be conformed, but be transformed. It's got to be through love. Because love is the thing that changes people radically. Can I get an oh yeah on that? Watch a kid who falls in love with a sport. Man, all of a sudden, they're wanting to throw the ball. They're wanting to practice. Watch a little girl who falls in love with an instrument, falls in love with the piano, or falls in love with her trumpet or with her flute. Man, they will play and play and work and work. What are they doing? They love it. Watch someone who begins to love literature, and man, their nose is in the book. Before that, you couldn't get them to read. And now, wow, they're just loving it. Watch a young man who falls in love. His car is clean. Why is his car clean? Is he sick? Why is his car? Is Jesus coming? Why is his car clean? This is a miracle right here. His car is clean because he's taken her out. And it wasn't because his dad said, "Your car's filthy," or his mom said, "Clean that up." He's in love. She's in love. She's getting all dressed up and fixed up and asking her friends, "Does this look good? Does this make me look fat? Does this look good? It's a first date. Do you remember that? Some of you are sitting by somebody you love, but it's been a while since love has really got a hold of your heart. And many of us are sitting in an auditorium with someone we love. But we need to go back and let him fire our heart again. Well, Jeff, how do you do it? Here's your assignment. Turn your bulletin over on the back, or the little note piece there. You're probably already on the back page. Excuse me. I tested for COVID, so first row, you're okay. In the last days, just mark this down, in the last days and every day, our goal is simple: grow more like Jesus. Everybody say it, grow more like Jesus. Now all the ones who didn't say it, grow more like Jesus. Every day. How are we gonna do that? I'm gonna give you a little homework practice. I want you to write the word love and the word hate on the back of your bulletin. And then I'm going to ask you to make a list. Don't do it now. Do it at home. Do it over lunch. Do it this afternoon with your kids. List things that Jesus loved. We want to get after Jesus' heart, not just his actions, right? So what did Jesus love? And then on the right side, put the word hate. What did Jesus not like? I asked some students, religion majors, and I just asked them, quick, tell me things you think Jesus loved. They gave me some good ones. You don't have to write these down. I just give you some examples. One said, Jesus loved justice. Jesus loved his Father. I really love that. Jesus really loved God. Jesus loved the hurting. Jesus loved time with God. He loved spending time with God. Jesus loved serving people, yeah. And this one I like. Jesus loved scripture. Jesus quotes it, talks about it. Jesus loved God's word. I thought, well, he wrote it. Yeah, you know, no wonder he loves it. But he demonstrated that he respected God's word. Okay, then when I asked him what Jesus hated, Jesus hated pride. Jesus hated dishonesty. Jesus hated people being taken advantage of. And the best one was a guy that said, Jesus hated hatred. He just didn't like hating. Hating people, hating groups, hating an ethnicity. All right, that's your goal. Because here's what we've got to do. We got to start loving what Jesus loves. You want to be like Jesus? Start loving what he loves. And start disliking what he dislikes. And by the way, best way to get on somebody's bad side is to mistreat their kids. The person you're sitting next to is a child of God. You mistreat them, does not make Jesus happy. Come on now, does not make Jesus happy. Some of you are going to have some talking in the car afterwards. That's all right. The first thing you need to do is say, I'm very sorry, Jesus. And then you need to talk to them. I wonder if we all started doing that, if people would start saying different things about believers. I wonder if it'd be easier for them to bring them to church next Sunday. So try this. Love people this week like Jesus would. Oh, but Jeff, it's so hard to remember. All right, then let me give you help. Two ladies. A woman named Lilias Trotter. Lilias Trotter lived, well, she's born in the mid-1800s, lived in England until she was about 30, and she was a beautiful artist. If you look her up, Lilias Trotter's art is gorgeous. But Lilias Trotter left art as a number one profession when she was about 35 years old. And she went to North Africa to be a missionary. She actually launched a mission effort there in North Africa and taught countless people about Christ. Well, she wrote brilliantly and wrote a piece called Focused, about being focused on Jesus, about when the world is confusing, all the smoke and the flame, like the firemen, just to focus on Jesus. That article went all the way to a hymn writer, a woman named Helen Limmel, who lived in Wisconsin. Now, Limmel had been born in England, interestingly enough. Her parents moved to Mississippi and ended up in Wisconsin, and she was a brilliant singer and wrote many, many Christian songs. And later in life, unfortunately, Helen lost her eyesight. So someone read her this article, and as she listened to it, this beautiful, blind Christian woman heard a song. And when she wrote it down, it became one of the most famous songs she would ever write, and a song right now a bunch of you are going, I know that song. I recognize that tune. Turn your eyes, she wrote, upon Jesus. That's your job this week if you're going to imitate him. So let's stand together, and we're going to sing this chorus, just us. No praise team, just us. Let me bless you first. Father, I pray for anyone in this auditorium who has never given their heart and life to Jesus, that when the amen of this prayer is said, that they'd come right down here and talk to somebody who'll be standing waiting. I pray for anyone who's never been baptized into Christ, that they'd step right out and just make that choice. But God, most of us in here have already done that. And what we need to do is we need to get back at the business of imitating Jesus. Father, I pray for dads who need to do that so their kids can follow them. I pray for mothers and grandmothers who need to do that so their children and grandkids can follow them. Father, I pray for the singles in our church who are so pressured to give in like Plato to whatever the world says. Lord, will you please give them the courage to fix their eyes on Jesus, imitate him, that others might see Jesus and follow them to salvation. So, God, may we make this song our prayer. Father, help us through the Spirit to do these words, I pray. And in Jesus' name, we all say amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the of his glory and grace. Go imitate Jesus. Go imitate Jesus. God bless you.